Jack Lang, the Premier of New South Wales at the time, was a supporter of Bradfield, and his endorsement was vital to the success of the project.
You had to have a Premier that was confident in building it, and John Lang was the man. They built it. It was only through his perseverance and getting funds where he could that the bridge was built. Many wanted to put it off and keep putting it off, but we had to have a bridge, and we got it today. And thank God that I'm at 85, I was able to walk it again.
I think Lang and Bradfield had a respectful regard for each other and worked well together. Lang, to his credit, left Bradfield alone to manage the project with his expertise. He trusted him to deliver, and Bradfield respected Lang for his support for the vision for the project. Bradfield certainly deserves the credit he has had, because without him, one wonders whether we would have ever had a bridge, you know, in that location, because it took massive determination and ability to stay on course through changing political leaders, through different economic times, through World War, you know, to keep that vision alive and to push for it.
My name is James Bradfield Moody, and I live in Erskineville. My great-grandmother was Caroline Bradfield, who married Edward Brandon Savage Moody, and that's where the Bradfield line comes in.
Do you have any memories of this bridge? What are your early memories of being here?
When I first came to Sydney, I used to drive over the bridge a lot, just because I loved it, you know. It was a wonderful piece of engineering. So my first memory is actually driving across the bridge and then back again for no reason.
And so what sort of emotions are you feeling today about walking across here?
I think pride, not just for Bradfield, but I guess for all of Australia, for Sydney. When you think that we built an 8-lane highway 75 years ago, when really I think it was not even being imagined that we'd ever need 8 lanes, to do that is quite an amazing feat. And to do it with the technology they had in those days was really extraordinary.
Was he a bit obsessive about getting his vision done of the bridge, would you say?
Perhaps obsessive, but also adaptable. You know, it was only at the very last minute that the bridge changed to become the arch bridge that we know today. Right up until 1921, when the contract was written, it was actually for a cantilever structure. So the huge document that was actually printed, we were that close to having a cantilever bridge. When he went overseas in 1921-22 as part of the tender process, the overseas firms actually spoke to him about the arch proposal and the benefits of it. He did his own calculations and worked out that there was in fact less steel involved in the arch proposal, therefore it was cost effective. So at the last minute, he wired back from overseas to the government and said, please add 3 words into the act, and that is a cantilever or an arch. And that was the moment in time when history changed. We ended up with the arch bridge.
My name's Peter Roper. I'm here today with our whole family of descendants from my great-uncle, William Hugh Roper. My great-uncle was the head engineer for the approaches north and south sides of the bridge, and he was probably a right-hand man for Dr. Bradfield during the construction time. From my understanding, he was a very bright man, Uncle William, and basically he was regarded as a problem solver by Bradfield as well, and he was unfortunately a quiet fellow who never got much recognition for the type of work that he did do, considering he was up against the Bradfield name, I suppose.